Are you looking for your next opportunity in the workforce? Look no further. UPS Jobs Kentucky is now hiring at upsjobsky.com. Right now, we are offering up to $18.50 an hour. You may even be eligible for a program that helps you graduate college completely debt-free and could also include a $325 a month living allowance paid directly to you. Follow us at UPS Jobs Kentucky and apply today at upsjobsky.com.
There's nothing more important than a child's health. That's why Body Armor Sports Drink is proud to partner with Walmart and Children's Miracle Network Hospitals, raising funds for 156 children hospitals across the U.S. Children's hospitals are on the front lines when it comes to protecting the health of our future generations. But they are not alone. Please join Body Armor Sports Drink to support the cause. Together, when we change kids' health, we change the future. Go to ChildrensMiracleNetworkHospitals.org to donate and learn more. That's ChildrensMiracleNetworkHospitals.org.
GE Appliances is hiring full-time for all shifts. Join our manufacturing team and make up to $660 per week. Apply today at MakeItAtThePark.com. Make a difference. Make it at GE Appliance Park.
Head over to the GE Appliances Podcast Center on ESPNLouisville.com.
Time now for The Take with Andy Sweeney.
Split the meat in half and shove the meat in my mouth.
The Take with Andy Sweeney.
Take the meat, split it in half, and shove it in my mouth. Then split the bun in half and then shove the bun in my mouth.
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
Get the hell out of here, Justin Roiland. Y'all are fake. You're frauds. You've always going to be frauds. And your schedule cowardice proves it. Get the hell out of here. King Kong my ass. Get out.
World I'm living in. I have Twitter people going at it. I got TJ Walker. I got Ennis. I got Justin Roiland. I got Mark Blankenbaker screaming. And while all of this is going on, okay, all of this in my mind is going on, my brain is moving slow today, slower than usual. So it's been a long weekend for me. So, you know, we're hanging out here. And then I look down and I see that Indiana football got another 4-star.
Yep.
I mean, what the hell is going on? What's going on in the world right now?
Have you seen the guy's offer list, Andy?
No. He's a top running back out of Ohio. I don't know his name.
His name is Gibran Payne. He's from Cincinnati. I'm sure I mispronounced his name, but whatever. But he is ranked 206th nationally overall. 4-star recruit. And Indiana and Tom Allen lands him over Kentucky and Vince Marrow, Louisville and Cord Denison, and also Iowa.
How about that? Well, let me ask you something. When are you gonna stand up and be a man about this and start going at Rummage and start going at Maben and start going at Ilstriebel? Like, what are you doing right now? Like, you're scared. You don't believe it. Even though you know what? I'm ruining the 5 o'clock hour right now, talking just by talking about Tom Allen right now.
He's working fools. You want it?
Yes, that's
yes,
what I want.
He's absolutely working fools. I mean, it's the only program in this area that at least has a chance to be worth a damn. I mean, you talk about the 12-team expanded playoff. Indiana can get into that. They would have been in it last year. Louisville's not getting into that. Kentucky's definitely not getting into that. You're trying to tell me that Kentucky and Indiana are on the same level? Well, Kentucky is going to be picked, what, 7th, 8th, 9th in their conference every single year? It'll probably be even lower than that. What sucks in Oklahoma come? Nah! Tom Allen has it rolling.
There you go. I don't want you just to tell me. I want you to tell everyone else around the office, okay? Tom Allen's working, fools. I'm with you. I'm on your side. I have to try. It's my job now to try to, how do I make this content? Indiana football, this entity that nobody cares about. This entity
and I am
that,
the
even
only one.
That even Indiana fans don't care about.
They're ranked 18th now in the team rankings.
They've now moved ahead of Kentucky. Like, the only guy that we can go to is you and Rab Johns. Like, none of the Indiana people are in on it. Anyway, we can move
beyond
all
of that.
all of that.
There used to be, but...
Okay, yeah. So what do we want to do with the Blankenbaker sound? We have been given a second piece of Blankenbaker sound today from Patty Ice. We thank Patty Ice, who almost never gives us any help for the mixtape, so we thank him for this. But we have staged sound, right? Blankenbaker wanted to record this for me at what, like 2:45 today, right? Before we went on the air. So we played this in the 3 o'clock hour, but I feel like I need to reset the topic. Is that right? You would agree with that.
I would.
For the 5 o'clock hour listeners. Okay. So here is where we are today. I come back from being off, of course, the weekend. I was off Thursday and Friday. Thursday was my birthday, and I'm not the guy that takes off for his birthday, but I needed some days. So I take off, and literally on that Wednesday, it's, hey, there's this interesting report. It could be a bombshell. No one knows what to do with it. Conference expansion, realignment, Texas, Oklahoma. And in the last 4 days, 5 days, it has festered into this great story, and it's going to happen, and it's going to happen by next year. And Chris Beard's coming into Rupp Arena, and Mark Stoops is going to have to worry about a schedule. Then it morphed into a number of different things. Pete Thamel talked about it, for one, how, you know, he thinks that the SEC will go to a 10-game schedule. There is a thought. I mean, the SEC, as if they don't do this already with their SEC elitism, which, again, I understand. I would do the same thing if I were them. You have the SEC that is now in a position to where they are going to say, in fact, we should get that Pete Thamel sound, Jack. Is that impossible to pull off Omni? That would be the only way to do that. Is Nick there? Is anyone there?
I will see if Nick is there.
What time do we do that? About 3:20? Second
roughly.
Segment.
Start a
early,
second segment.
Early second segment, if he doesn't mind doing that. So that's the lay of the land today, is that now it's, we know Texas and Oklahoma, sooner rather than later, are going to be in the SEC. And we now know that there's a lot of dominoes that will fall as the first big one has been tipped over. And we do know that the SEC will go to 9 games. That's a for sure thing. But I think now the chance of going to 10 games has a much, much higher probability. If you're going to do all this for the money and you're worried about, hey, if we go and we play someone in Atlanta or Indianapolis or in Dallas, some neutral site game, we may need to make that up with a home game, another home gig, if you will. Well, if you're already saying we are willing to do all of this for money, which, of course, is understandable, Greg Sankey, I mean, the story here, and I know you guys, Jack, talked about it last week, the story here is Greg Sankey is like, I'm taking over the SEC, I have now taken over the SEC, and now I am going to become number one power broker in all of this. And so I want to get to the many different tentacles, but if Kentucky goes to 10 games, what happens, if anything, to the Governor's Cup? And that got Justin Rowland on Twitter, who's like, well, maybe you don't play the Governor's Cup. And I disagree with that. I want to be abundantly clear. I believe around here, and whichever side, I want to be honest, Kentucky, they got crushed by Louisville fans. I did not go fully in crushing Kentucky last year, because they could have voted against. Now, if you want to make fun of them. Last year, Kentucky could have voted against, even though it would have done absolutely nothing, they could have voted against not playing, because of COVID, the SEC-ACC matchup, and not playing Louisville. Kentucky could have done that. South Carolina did. They're like, we're going to suck. We're going to fire our coach, but we're going to go out and play Clemson and lose 66-7. That is going to be what we're going to do. Kentucky did. You know, they went along with the rest of the conference, which is what happens, which has been, and it's been one of the more surprising things, is the stability within the SEC is that everyone is on board. And I think this really tested how elastic that was, because there had to be some bending here, just a little bit of bending here. So anyway, all of that is going on, and I'll be abundantly clear. The Governor's Cup needs to continue, I know the ACC is going to go to 9 games. I think the ACC, if you said here in the next few years, they went to 9 games, then they went to 10 games. I wouldn't be surprised. I could see it happening much sooner if you're on the SEC side, and I'm here for it. Because the out-of-conference schedule for many, including Kentucky, has been, and listen, when Louisville has Indiana State and at times Western Kentucky, and when they play Murray State, when New Mexico State and some of this stuff, it's not good. It's not good for anybody. It's not. And some of those games now are going to go away. And that is fundamentally going to change the way that we view Kentucky and Louisville football. Absolutely is. If you take a win, a for sure win or two away on teams that right now we would admit that they need every single win that they can get. Playing, playing New Mexico State, they need to do that instead of even playing South Carolina or Vanderbilt. Okay, they need to do that instead of playing Syracuse. And so that is very much the background of all of this. I disagree with Justin Roiland. In fact, I need to read his. Hang on just a second. Should I read this for everybody? Because I think there's absolute value in playing this game. Both of these teams, Kentucky and Louisville, in football, them playing each other is sometimes and often the biggest stakes that the two teams could have. I mean, if you're talking about, you know, 6 or 7 win football teams, you know, I mean, that's fine if you have a bowl game against, SMU. That's fine. You want to win that. I'm not saying that you don't, but what you care about probably a little bit more is that game. He tweeted out the following, strong case to be made for ending the Governor's Cup. Many other rivalries already gone. Really no benefit with this round of expansion. The schedule will always feature big names and tough opponents, and you are now basically in the NFL minor league system. What I would say to that is, yes, Kentucky is. They were very lucky many years ago to be in the SEC. There's a ton to gain. That's what this area is Louisville versus Kentucky. You know what's lame? What is lamer than lame is when Missouri and Kansas, them not playing, that's lame. Texas and Texas A&M being lame, that's lame. It's lame. Look, I could spin this to you. This is a great thing for Kentucky. It's a great thing for Kentucky. You bring in a ton more money. You bring in a ton more money. It's better basketball-wise. That's what you care about more than anything. And football-wise, you're like, well, it knocks us down a rung. Yeah, it does. What were you winning anyway? I mean, you've got how many decades to prove that you could win in the SEC? Why would anyone at Kentucky, anybody at Kentucky, am I wrong here, Jack, say, well, you know, we really need to think about this thing that's going to continue and further elevate the conference. It's going to, I think, help on the basketball side, right? And on the football side, I mean, Kentucky's in the same bin as, I mean, everyone but, what, 5 schools in the conference? I mean, Alabama, LSU, I'm like, I'm not putting Auburn. I'm putting Kentucky in the same pile as Auburn here, right?
That might be insulting to Auburn.
Well, it is insulting. That's fine if you want to throw them in there. But, I mean, it's LSU. It's Alabama. It's like Texas. Texas, I'm not throwing in any damn upper tier. Them going to the SEC and going, 8-4, 7-5, whatever it may be. Nah, no way. Like it's good on the football side. For Kentucky, you can say, well, it's gonna knock them down a game. You play more conference games. Well, I mean, I don't know. Mark Stoops makes a lot of money. He's been there a decade. I don't know. Maybe it's gonna provide clarity for the Kentucky fan. If you play 10 games in the SEC and you can't cut it, and you know you're gonna, here's the thing. The first, if they go to 10 games, maybe even 9 games, prediction, if they go to 10 games, and we'll do this blank sound here. They go to 10 games in 4-3-7-9-6-80. They go to 10 games here. they're going to play the Governor's Cup for a few years, right? 1 or 2 years. And then Kentucky may have to make the decision. By the way, Louisville might be in the same boat. I don't know what the – I'm not acting like Louisville's going to ascend here and start becoming a 9-10 win football team. They couldn't do it with Lamar Jackson. I'm sure not proven that Scott Satterfield is going to be able to do that. So they might be in a situation. There's 9-10 ACC games. Wait a minute. We got to schedule Indiana State and Murray State. We got to get a couple wins around here. And I do think the bowl system will change. They'll take away that 6-win threshold. I mean, all this has been orchestrated so the SEC can get more and more. So their teams can lose and make bowl games. So their teams can lose, what, 3 games, 4 games, whatever it is, and still make a college football playoff or whatever. Like, we all already understand that they're going to rig the system that they created in some sort of way. But like, if you're Kentucky, it's better basketball. You're making more money, and I'm not going to cry for Mark Stoops and a staff that get raises every year. Like, no one wants to hear someone talk big about New Mexico State. That's what I would agree with Blanket Baker. Like, yeah, okay, they're about a 7-win football team, and if they play 12 games and they get a patsy or two. And, you know, they sell Vanderbilt. I mean, they're still there. They are ahead of teams in the SEC. And you're not for sure going to get, you know, the schedule can line up to where you get Texas and maybe the separation's not there. And other years you get Oklahoma, and Oklahoma's the number 3 in the country. Yeah, and they hang 4, you know, 7 touchdowns on you at Kroger Field. Like, it's understandable, but, I mean, this thought process that we're going to wait around for Kentucky football, and Kentucky football, Kentucky fans need to be so against it because they're going to take some step back in football like they've done anything in football. I mean, right? Am I missing something? Like, Mitch Barnhart's going to say, you know what? I'm going to cause a big stink here, and I'm going to be very public to be against all of this. I'm going to vote against it like Texas A&M, and the reason I'm going to do that is I don't want all the extra, you know, tens of millions of dollars that will be showered my way. I don't want any of that because I have belief that we're finally going to turn the corner for Kentucky football. And if you do turn the corner, and Stoops is good this year, and you're competing against Georgia, and all that, well, that's fine. Then act like one of the big boys. Like, I think it's a great thing for Kentucky. I think it's a great thing for these universities in the middle. No one's expecting Ole Miss to win, to go 11-1. Right? I mean, what's Mike Leach? No one's thinking, damn, Mike Leach is going to go 10-2. No one's got to do that at Mississippi State. I get why they're like, okay, there's a greater probability of me having it of Texas or Oklahoma, and that lessens my, you know, Vanderbilt or Missouri or whatever, whoever, South Carolina, that it may be. But I don't know. Now, let's get to the Pete Thamel sound. He talked a little bit earlier today. This is on their podcast, him, 40, and Wetzel, talking about how the SEC, I think this is their PR move, how they are going to be even more elite than they already are.
They just wrote about it in the script. Yep. from this point on. One more mundane football point that I think is going to be really interesting here, and talk about the homogeny that we're starting to see. And I haven't dug in on this with SEC folks yet because I'm a little more worried about macro before we go micro. But Nick Saban is in favor of playing more conference games. You know, every year, like back when this used to be a big offseason story, league games, we're playing 9, says David Shaw. But Saban has always said, I want to play more. Well, that matters. Scott Strickland has really led a vocal campaign to play more Power 5 games, basically, to get rid of it. Because I think some of these SEC schools have seen, like, their home schedules kind of be like, okay, if we're playing a neutral site or whatever, the home schedules aren't very good. So there's been a groundswell from the SEC, from some important voices. Greg Byrne's spoken out on that too at Alabama, to play more league games. So I'm just doing some math here, but you don't go to 16 and add Oklahoma and Texas and only play 8 league games. I mean, look at in college basketball, look at all, everybody's at 20 league games now. I really think that we're going to see, and this is projection, it's my own projection, not through sources, that we're going to see 10 league games in the SEC. They're basically going to fashion this as the premiere of college football. and then everything else is everything else. That's how I see this happening. Yeah, like this is college football, and they're going to brand it as like, if you don't go to the SEC, you're not playing college football. And the fact that they have, you know, started, I think, 24 exclusive ESPN coverage.
All right, there you go. So there was a Pete Thamel sound from earlier today. So, right now, I see it as it is a power move by Sankey. It is greed. It is all of the things that people are saying, right? But I'm giving you a positive here that there are some football programs out there that are worth a damn, and there are a ton of basketball programs that are out there. And the Big 12 is going to have to let these guys walk. They're not going to sit around for 4 years here. It's not going to be the case. It's going to be sooner rather than later. This is the last year that Oklahoma and Texas are going to be in the SEC, are going to be in the Big 12. So if they go away, I know David Hale retweeted, I think it was Lebatard and others today, and I did hear this a little bit on their podcast. I mean, the amount that Texas and Oklahoma have propped up the Big 12 in many different ways, even after it expanded with West Virginia, which tried, it didn't seem like it was a bad idea. And remember, I mean, Jack, you remember TCU used to be a powerhouse, right? They were close to the national championship.
Yeah, they won a Rose Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, you know, last few years they've went down. I guess I understand the negatives that are there with tearing away what people believe college sports are. I get that. My take, though, is there are a ton of different, like you could add, if you're the ACC, some really valuable pieces here. And you could be aggressive. And you could add good football programs. I mean, Oklahoma State, I would say, is better than that. TCU is seen as better than that. And I don't know what's valid, and I don't want to get into the, hey, you know, you get this guy and get this team, and that's been done. That's not the way that I view it. But there is value that is out there in football, and there's big-time value that's out there in basketball. And what we talked with Mike DeCourcy about in the 4 o'clock hour, and I talked about in the 3 o'clock hour as well, the basketball side here, like, we care about that so much that why are we talking so much about the football side? Nothing that the ACC does is going to come close to what the SEC is doing right now. And that was the case before adding Oklahoma and Texas. That was the case. I mean, come on, I did the numbers last week. I mean, North Carolina, last 5 years, big bad North Carolina, they're 5-7 average the last 5 years. Like, Florida State was like 6-6. Louisville was 6-6. Like, that's how you're going to be good. Like, if I'm the ACC, I mean this, they won't do it, I'd add Kansas in a heartbeat. I know their football stinks. That's fine. There's a bunch of bad football. Syracuse is bad football. What are we doing here? Lots of bad
the
football.
New York media market, Andy.
I mean, this is about brands more than media markets, and you get a big brand like Kansas basketball.
I agree.
I am stunned. That's not more of the conversation here because football wise, like the SEC, if they do the PR that we're elite, what are they accomplishing? Everyone already knows they're elite.
It's not enough for everyone to know. They have to constantly remind you.
Well, no, and Greg Sankey, I mean, just absolutely spiked the ball on everyone's face right now. And he has made he is someone that was saying, no, I'm not, you know, Greg Sankey saying, I'm not saying no to being not a power broker or, you know, or one of the top ones. I am the power broker. And we are now, it's the NFL, it's us, and then it's a little old college football. And that's fine if they want to, listen, that's fine if they want to spin it that way. They're not some damn Premier League team. They got a bunch of, don't sell me. Vanderbilt, who gets to reload off everybody else. But, I mean, just the basketball side, the value that is out there, ACC, this is the ACC's chance to fix some of the wrongs that they've had, right? I mean, don't you feel that way? Some of the football shortcomings that you have, there is value. There is some basketball value that is out there. Do not act like the last couple years. The basketball values have Rick Pitino in this league. Coach K is going to be gone. Roy Williams, Seth Greenberg.
Seeing if you're paying attention.
I mean, Seth Greenberg never made an NCAA tournament. I mean,
it's a joke.
Yeah, I know.
It's a joke. Do you want to play this this Blankenbaker sound?
Or which
you
one? The original?
You want to hold it for Anderson? Let's do that.
Yeah, let's hold it for Anderson.
Let's take a break. Jason Anderson, we talk with him next.
Are you looking for your next opportunity in the workforce? Look no further. UPS Jobs Kentucky is now hiring at upsjobsky.com. Right now, we are offering up to $18.50 an hour. You may even be eligible for a program that helps you graduate college completely debt-free and could also include a $325 a month living allowance paid directly to you. Follow us at UPS Jobs Kentucky and apply today at upsjobsky.com.
There's nothing more important than a child's health. That's why Body Armor Sports Drink is proud to partner with Walmart and Children's Miracle Network Hospitals, raising funds for 156 children hospitals across the U.S. Children's hospitals are on the front lines when it comes to protecting the health of our future generations. But they are not alone. Please join Body Armor Sports Drink to support the cause. Together, when we change kids' health, we change the future. Go to ChildrensMiracleNetworkHospitals.org to donate and learn more. That's ChildrensMiracleNetworkHospitals.org.
GE Appliances is hiring full-time for all shifts. Join our manufacturing team and make up to $660 per week. Apply today at MakeItAtThePark.com. Make a difference. Make it at GE Appliance Park.
Head over to the GE Appliances Podcast Center on ESPNLouisville.com.
Time now for The Take with Andy Sweeney.
And by the way, yes. Here's one more thing on it before you get to Scott Satterfield. They're going to make all the kids wear masks at JCPS, apparently. I can't tell you how quickly, if my kid's going to public school, how quickly I'm moving to Bullitt County.
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
Man, I love the haymakers from Nick Curran. I'm absolutely loving it. All right, so it's a Monday. By the way, Big Rig is back tomorrow. Strieble will be back tomorrow. He's unpacking the mother-in-law today. That's today. And then we'll be making the pilgrimage back. He just to give you an update, he was supposed to run out to a local liquor store there named Benny's or Benny's, whatever it is, that's up there in Chicago, every single corner. And he did not do that. He was supposed to give me a four pack or something like that. Grossman, just get on the mic here. I can't text you while I'm hosting a show.
Sorry.
What do you want? Wait, hang on. Yeah. I know we're trying to get Jason Anderson.
Yep.
What do you want me to do?
The old phone number does not work. So
what do you mean
send
the old phone number doesn't work?
The one that he had when he was here in Louisville.
No, it's the exact same one.
Number's been disconnected.
Wait, well, I just texted him today.
I'll try it again. Maybe I typed it in wrong.
Hang on. I'll try to share this with you. This is literally as we were getting ready to go on the air. I said, I think we need to have the guest on so we don't do this. And then I'm in the middle of promoting something, and Jack texts me, Jason's number's not working. I'm going to be able to do anything. What do you want me to do? I'm on the air. Barely, but we're on the air. I will remind you, NBA draft coming up Thursday, at 7 o'clock on all ESPN Louisville stations. I don't think there's anything interesting locally, right, about that whatsoever. Is David Johnson the most interesting thing there? I mean, Kentucky fans don't care about B.J. Boston, right? If Boston went in the first round, they would use that in some sort of way. I guess, I don't know, the higher he goes, the worse it makes a 9-win season look. They're in a no-win situation here. You can't really gloat. You can't gloat at all. So if he dips and goes in, 40s, 50s, whatever it is, that ain't gonna be good either. The only pivot is if Isaiah Jackson goes lottery. That's the only one. What I saw today was that Matt Babcock had, I think, David Johnson, 57, which seems low as well. That's what I mean. It seems way low to me. Grossman, where are we right now?
Well, every time I dial the phone number, which is the same number that you sent me and the same number that Ents now has texted me, it says the phone's been disconnected.
The phone's been disconnected?
Yes.
Well, so when I text him, it could have went to his phone because iMessage to iMessage, maybe?
Possibly.
Man, I don't think that's the case.
That doesn't make sense. Hold on. I'm going to try it again.
I just texted him, do you have a new number? Have you texted him by any chance?
No, not yet. I was going to if this last one didn't work.
What's it saying? It's disconnected?
Yes, it says the phone number you're trying to reach.
I just talked to him today at like 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
Maybe because that's the station phone blocked.
You know what? He might. Do you think he does?
Oh, possibly.
He says he's answered twice and nothing on the other end.
Interesting.
Okay, I'm going to have him try calling us. Think he forgets the number? Do you think he knows the number right now? I just texted him the number. So be looking out for him. What a mess. What a mess, Grossman. What a mess. We never got to Louisville being picked sixth in the ACC today. And we never got to Team USA. And we never got to either Rick Bozich and his ribs. Did you happen to see Rick Bozich and his ribs today? I mean, the ribs he made on the grill. We're going to have to get on him on Thursday. He didn't have any, I swear to you, his meat right on the grill. He did not have any seasoning on that, maybe some salt, maybe a little bit of pepper. But I was like, come on, you got to get some sort of a mix, some sort of barbecue sauce. You got to get something. Just throw some, what's the one that's like $2? Baby Ray's. Throw some Baby Ray's on there. Do something. Grossman, we are nuking our 5 o'clock hour right now, buddy. I guess just let me know. If the phones aren't working, that would be a fun way for just today
we
to
got
fizzle
them.
Out. Oh, we have them. Jason Anderson joins us. Just like old times, Jason. The phones don't work.
Yeah, no, perfectly fine. I answer the phone. I'm like, hello? What's up? Yo, this is Jason. Nothing. Just dead air on the other end. Then I get a call back, same number, answered again, nothing. Then you get a text to go, did you get a new number?
Well, he thought you got a new number, and I'm like, well, I was texting him today. And I
kept getting the message of some random, you know, old man saying this phone number's been disconnected. That's the only thing I got the first, like, five times I tried.
Did you know the call-in number? Could you remember 267-9680, even though you've been gone, what, two years, whatever it is?
It's been 2 years, and yes, I would have remembered that had you said, you know what, just go ahead and call in. I'm like, oh,
really?
That's good. I thought that's what you were texting. I was like, hey, can you call in? But you're like, is your phone disconnected? No, it's not. It's probably something on Crean's end.
No, it absolutely is. By the way, what do you think of Crean's ascension in sports radio?
I feel bad about, you know, giving him an opportunity and give him a chance. I want to apologize to anybody for that. So, yeah. Oh, he's amazing. Crean is awesome, man. He deserves everything that comes his way. Such a good kid. Such a great heart.
He's going to Vegas.
Thanks, Jason.
He's going to Vegas. He's having eye surgery on Thursday, and then he's resting for a couple days, and then he's flying to Vegas. Legit. And I told him he needed to wear an eye patch.
What's that'd be the badass. Surgery for? Just LASIK?
No, it's a cornea surgery.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, that'll be fun. But, yeah,
that is cool.
Yeah, the Vegas trip will actually be fun.
Hopefully,
yes.
I told him to wear an eye patch. I mean, if you're gonna go to a strip club and you're Jack and you wear an eye patch, like, that's easy.
Yes.
Fish in a barrel. Yes, there you go. See, his parents might be listening, so sometimes he does get a little bit nervous. All right, so Anderson's with us there in KC. Well, hope life is treating you well. I know you guys are gearing up for, you know, obviously Royals baseball 24/7 is the only important thing there. Sure. Missouri at SEC Media Days. Kansas State at Big 12 Media Days have been the big stories. I know you guys have been chasing down. How much, and I guess, what has been the reaction there as Kansas is in an odd spot? And I guess just what is your opinion on all the realignment stuff?
I hate it. I'm not a fan of it.
Really?
You know, we've talked about it a lot around here since the news came down, just because, I mean, when you see that news, the entire college world takes a step back and says, what? You know, when that first came out, everybody was going and checking the Twitter account to make sure this was a real person. That this
was not
Ad Orange Schefter that put that out there or anything like that. So when we saw that, obviously it was big news because Oklahoma is in the Big 12. KU, K-State in the Big 12. Missouri was from the Big 12. So in this area, the Big 12 tournament's still hosted in Kansas City. So there's still that tradition growing up in the Big 8 and then bringing on the Texas schools. And so when that happened, obviously it's been a lot of conversation because what's going to happen now? Texas and Oklahoma are going to go to the SEC. Where does KU end up? Where does K-State end up? Missouri fans on the other side going, hey, remember the last 10 years when you guys were making fun of us for being in the SEC and thinking that we didn't get anything out of it? Yeah, this seat's pretty stable we're in right now. So how's that rocky ground that you guys are standing on? I bet you're not making fun of us anymore. It's been an interesting few days around here, just the uneasiness of KU and K-State, and quite frankly, uneasiness of the area, because the last thing you want to have happen is a KU or a K-State end up in a non-Power 5, a non-autonomy 5, a non-Power 4, whatever it the future is going to hold, as long as there's a seat at the table. So there's some uneasy folks in Kansas right now, but what the future is going to hold.
I mean, dude, it's nuts. Like, when you're here, we talked about, realignment, Louisville, ACC, and all of that. And then you have the Adidas and the FBI. And then, like, those stories are following you right now. Both of those stories followed you 8 hours west.
Ridiculous. When I think about this, when I moved to Louisville, Louisville was in the Big East. Missouri was in the Big 12. Colorado was in the Big 12. Nebraska was in the Big 12. Everything was just fine. It was no big deal, right? I mean, the Big East was healthy, the ACC, the SEC. And just in the amount of time of moving there and moving back, you've got all of this craziness with what the SEC, the Pac-12 in Colorado and Nebraska heading to the Big Ten, and people didn't really even notice, and I don't think still have noticed that Nebraska's in the Big Ten. And then now you've got Texas and Oklahoma heading to the SEC. Like, it's nuts. I never would have guessed that, behemoths like Texas be in the same conference with an Alabama and a Georgia and Florida and Auburn and an LSU. It's and a Missouri, of course. It's just nuts.
Have you ever given a horns down?
Oh, all the time on Twitter. Constantly. Every time they lose, I give a horns down. Screw Texas.
I knew you would say screw Texas. Here's what I said, and Anderson's with us there in Kansas City here on The Take on this Monday. I said that, if you're the ACC, there is a chance here to upgrade, right? Like, there is a chance to get some valuable real estate. And I'm like, I know football's driving everything, but you're never going to be better than the SEC. And so I see something like Kansas basketball, and that intrigues me. And I'm like, yo, this area loves college basketball. Let's talk about the basketball side. Because the reason I smile at the SEC stuff is, Kentucky now. Now, I mean, you can see Chris Beard coming into Rupp Arena, right? That first year, Oklahoma has been more than respectable. Mosher's there. They're an NCAA tournament team, I really feel. So I love you make more money. I love it for basketball. And you could say it sets Kentucky. And I'll put Missouri in the same spot here, Jason. Kentucky and Missouri, I'm like, okay, so football's a little bit harder. It's like, well, from Kentucky's standpoint, it's like, you're not winning football anyway. Like, we've been waiting decades for you to be good at football, right? I mean,
Missouri's won a couple divisions. I mean, come on. I mean, Missouri's actually played in the championship game a couple of times, right?
Yeah.
No, I think it's interesting because that's one of the things we've talked about here in KC is what happens with Kansas State and what happens with Kansas. Like, what's the brand? Where's the draw? Is it K-State because they've been better at football over the last 20 years? So maybe they will get an invite. Is it Kansas because it's got the brand of basketball? And more than anything, it's Kansas because they have the brand of basketball. And a couple of other things. One, the Big Ten, and the ACC are conferences that hang their hat on the academic side as well. And Kansas is an AAU school, which matters. When you're talking about schools entering into different conferences. So that helps KU. And the other thing is, it actually isn't a bad thing that KU sucks at football, even though we look at football driving the whole thing when it comes to conference realignment, because you can add in a school that does that, add in the Kansas City market because that's who watches, add in a basketball brand, and not have to we got an extra team we got to worry about in this conference. Well, no, now we got to win in football, and we're adding in that brand in basketball. So I think Kansas is actually more of a attractive candidate than when it first happened. I'm like, damn, what's going to happen with Kansas? Their football is terrible. But then you start to think about it, I'm like, you know, they're more attractive to Kansas State. What's going to happen to the Wildcats? What's going to happen to K-State now when this whole thing is done?
Do Kansas State fans know how anonymous they are to everybody else?
they probably do, and they're probably tired of hearing about it constantly. They're probably tired
but
of hearing about how
to me they're so damn anonymous.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Like, I mean, it's just so one of the things that I've loved about going to the SEC and being in the SEC as a school that I root for is that I didn't have to care about what Texas and Oklahoma and what they did. Like, the position of the school that I root for and the future of the school that I root for wasn't based on the wind blowing a certain direction and Texas going, let's go to the Pac-12. You know what? Let's go to the SEC. I hated that. And when the Big Eight brought the four schools in from the conference that dissolved, that is Texas, it's Texas Tech, it's A&M, it's Baylor, when they brought those four schools in to make the Big 12, it was helping them out. And when they got to the Big Eight, they then took over. They moved the headquarters down to Dallas. Everything was started to being about Texas. Texas was getting, you know, more shares because it was set up between who got more of the nationally televised games. And so Texas was getting more money than, say, you know, in Iowa State or in Nebraska or in Missouri or Kansas. Kansas State, which you would expect, but still it was like, did we let you into this conference? And so it was all about bending the knee to Texas. And so when Missouri left, I was like, you know what, that's awesome. Bleep you. Mm-hmm. Bleep the conference that has bent over backwards for Texas constantly. To heck with them. And now it's kind of annoying that Texas is going to get a lifeline into the SEC, but it's also going to be interesting to see Texas walk into a conference and the conference goes, yeah, dude, you're one of 16.
Right.
Okay. You're not running stuff around here because we got Bama, we got Auburn, we got LSU. Yeah, Texas is a big brand, but we don't need you, Texas. The Big 12 needed you.
That's going to rear its ugly head. Jason, yeah. I'm interested what subject is going to come up that Texas is going to get that realization first? What's it going to be? I have no idea, but it's going to happen.
No idea.
I agree with you. I just don't know when it's going to happen.
Yeah, no idea, because they've been used to getting their way with different things in the conference because they know, and it's right, and whether the other big – the eight schools remaining right now in the Big 12 know it or not, they ran the conference. And if they left, it would – massively hurt the conference. And that was even when there were 12 teams before Nebraska and Colorado left. Like, they knew that. And when they go into the SEC, they're going to walk into the SEC, and the SEC is not going to need Texas. I mean, it's great that they have them because they become more powerful. They get more power and control across college football, but they're not going to dissolve and you know, get picked apart by other conferences if Texas leaves.
Texter wants to know, ask Jason Anderson, that bum, what happened to his Chiefs in the Super Bowl. He's been real quiet lately. You think Chiefs fans are being quiet? You guys are selling, 18-0 shirts or whatever it is?
18-0. No, there's no shirts. There's no shirts being sold, but they are saying that, like, that's the whole thing. Like, the whole 20-0 thing is absurd.
It's 20-0, that's it.
It goes to show, like, the Chiefs run things now because Patrick Mahomes is asked what record you would like to break this year.
Oh, is that what he said?
Individual record. And he said, I don't care about an individual record. If I broke a record, it would be going 20-0. Patrick Mahomes predicts 20-0. Yeah, because he controls stuff, because he controls the narrative. If he says something, people sit up and listen because they're the best team in the NFL. Now, what happened to them was that they had their 12th different offensive lineman playing going into that Super Bowl. That's what happened to them. But it happens. They lost the game, and then they'll go and win it this year in L.A., and they'll win 2 out of 3, and they'll continue to be a dynasty.
Texas says K-State fans weren't anonymous when K-State was beating UK's ass in the Sweet 16. No, that's the last time they were relevant. You're exactly right. And their best player, who was he was a white dude. That's all I remember. He was a white
Dean
dude.
Wade.
Dean Wade, yes. There
Dean
is
Wade.
Dean. Thank you,
he
Jack.
He barely even played in that game, though.
No,
the best player was Xavier Steed
exactly,
in that game.
Exactly, exactly.
He couldn't shoot threes, and he goes in that game and was 5 of 5 against UK in that game. Like, that was the craziness part of that.
Kentucky snake bitten. They're just snake bitten. All right, so Jason Anderson with
this.
Go ahead.
Kentucky's never beaten a team that just got through beating a 16 seed in the second round.
Ooh, look at that. There you go.
Yeah,
never.
So, it's never happened before. Kentucky has never done that. Calipari is 0-1 against teams that just beat a 16 seed in the round of 32.
And he's also 0-1 without Kenny Payne. So there you go. I don't know if you heard anything about that too. The Big 12, what's the conversation? What's your hunch that they'll do? They'll reload or they'll disband? Texas and Oklahoma will be off, and, you know, everyone's going to have to find a home somewhere. What do you think happens?
This is Chris Rock, that a man is only as loyal as his best options, and that's what's going on with these eight teams. They got on a conference call last week, the 80s and presidents, with Bob Bowlesby, the commissioner, and they all pledged, you know, their loyalty to everybody there on the call, and they're going to move forward and examine different possibilities to keep the Big 12 together, and what can we do to keep Texas and Oklahoma, which isn't happening. They're already gone. If this was a negotiating tactic, you would have been notified about Texas and Oklahoma wanting to join the SEC long ago. That cart is, you know, that horse has left the barn. That toothpaste is out of the tube. It ain't coming back. So now you're moving forward and figuring out what to do. So they can sit on that conference call all they want and say, we're going to keep the Big 12 together. But you know, and I know, and everybody else across the country knows, as soon as that conference call is over, you're looking at the guy to your right and to your left at whatever school you are and going, all right, who do you know in the Big Ten? Who do you know in the ACC? Let's get on the phone with the Pac-12. What are we going to do? Let's commission something to figure out what our best foot forward is. What do we bring to the table? We got to figure out how we separate ourselves from these other seven chumps, because we got to find a place to go and land.
Oh, that's every man for himself. Now. Oh, I mean, Louisville was in that. Yeah, Louisville was in that.
For sure, absolutely, because the ACC was going to bring in UConn. Yeah. And Louisville's like, whoa, calm down. Just give it a shot. Just be a little bit more patient on this. Just see what we have to offer. And I think what's going on right now, and look, 10 years ago, the schools that are in that call right now, that were in that call last week, went through the same thing. TCU and West Virginia didn't, but who cares? You know, West Virginia ended up leaving, you know, the Big East. They didn't care about anything that was left behind, and now they're stuck in that boat and figuring out what to do now with choppy waters. And TCU was like, ah, cool, we'll take a lifeline no matter what it is.
Oh, sure,
but the other schools were in that room in 2010 and 2011 when it was face-to-face and people were saying, we're going to keep this thing together. Texas and Oklahoma aren't going anywhere. Texas A&M isn't going anywhere. Missouri's not going anywhere. Nebraska's going to pledge their loyalty to us. Colorado's going to the Pac-12, but who cares about that? We'll just figure this out moving forward. And then they would leave those meetings. Nebraska was talking to the Big Ten. A&M was talking to the SEC. And Missouri was talking to the Big Ten and the SEC, trying to find anything away from Texas. So those schools knew that was going on. They're doing the same thing right now. So my best guess is that they all find a different conference eventually, that they may try to make this thing work. But think about it like this. There is a clause in the Big 12 contract, which would make sense, in that when they lose a membership, those rights can then be renegotiated. Hmm. Dennis Dodd from CBS Sports, we had him on today, and he said that an industry executive estimated that Texas and Oklahoma for the Big 12 are roughly 50 to 75% of the value for the TV network deal. Think about it like this. They're getting a $37 million payout. If it's the high end of that estimation, that means the Big 12 would start getting $9 million per team.
Yeah.
You can't live.
You can't live like that. No, you can't live like that.
You better find a conference. You better find a Pac-12.
You have to.
Because there's no school out there that you bring in that would make up for Texas and Oklahoma.
No, I mean, there's a lot that, if Houston got upped and, you start going through these teams, it'd be fine. But, yeah, it's not going to move the needle. Last one, Jason Anderson with us. Greg Sankey, through all of this, what do you make of him?
Oh, I mean, he's a baller. I mean, the guy's running things. I mean, he's sitting there, he's pulling the strings right now. And now Jim Delaney is like, whoa, now what do we do? Because we didn't see this coming. The ACC didn't see this coming. The Pac-12 didn't see this coming.
And they can't add just anybody. They can't add, like, Oklahoma and those rednecks. They can't add Mike Gundy flying in with his mullet. Like, right? Like, I mean, they went Rutgers instead. Maryland, right? Like, they ain't going to mess with Oklahoma State. That there's too much stink on that.
No, Oklahoma State, if they find a winning spot, it's going to be in the Pac-12. I don't see, like, I
them.
See in the Big Ten, like, I can, it helps out the basketball brand, and because the big football schools aren't going to look at it and go, now we got to deal with Texas or Oklahoma, it's like, okay, cool, here's another win. So I can see it from that standpoint. Oklahoma State, I don't think, is an AAU school. Iowa State's one that people keep talking about, but, like, why would Iowa vote to allow Iowa State in? And if they look at all of the different shares that are equal to everybody,
what does Iowa State bring to the table that increased the money that then they would get an equal share away from everybody else? Like, what's the point of that? Oklahoma State, at least you can, or I mean, Kansas, at least you could say we're getting into the Kansas State market, right? I mean, because that's who watches KU basketball, at least from that standpoint. But I'm not sure where it's gonna what's gonna happen. If I'm the Pac-12, I'm probably reaching out and trying to get as many schools as I can get up to 16 out of those Big 12 schools.
Yeah, I mean, there's a chance for some of these other conferences. We've been talking about it with U of L and the ACC to improve themselves, to absolutely improve themselves. And Jim Phillips, the commissioner there, did say, he's like, we need to be 24/7 football going forward. I'm like, you knew this, didn't you? I was like, did you know this? Jim Phillips, did you know what was going on? What's happening here?
Here's something to think about, too. And we brought this up a couple of times. When we say work your contacts and try to figure things out at what's the best spot for individual schools, Travis Goff, not Jared, who Kansas just hired as their athletic director when they fired Les Miles I've even forgot his name, and I've covered the damn thing. I just know the guy who fired Bobby Petrino. So they bring in Travis Goff, who's an alumni of KU, and he was working at Northwestern. So you've got him who was working in the Big Ten for a while, but where does is now the ACC commissioner. He's the AD now at Kansas. So something to keep in mind when you're talking about working the back channels, because remember, it was North Carolina, and it was president of university, God, I forgot his name now, of U of L, that had that relationship that connected that to the ACC. When that happened, that's in the ACC. It's all about those connections. And so Travis Goff, his former boss, is now there at the ACC. It's just something to keep in mind when Kansas is trying to figure out where they're going to end up.
I'd be all in for it.
Do we bring in Notre Dame? Like, I'm not just settling for West Virginia just because of geographically it makes sense. I don't care about that.
No, I mean, listen, you get Kansas basketball, the football stinks, but if you're a Louisville fan, you take the chance and maybe getting a win. Scott Satterfield might be okay with it.
You know what? And maybe Satterfield would be better than Barry Odom eventually.
There you go. Dinkwitz. I can't remember his name.
He's not better than Drinkwitz.
He could be better than Barry Odom,
but he's not going to be better than Drinkwitz.
All right, Anderson, get out of here. Appreciate the time, brother. We'll talk down the road. Thank you so much.
All right,
Jason Anderson with us in a rough phone connection. There you go, Jack. A little sports talk radio today.
I'm glad the phone still works.
Yeah, man, you ain't wrong. So Strebel's back tomorrow. We need a list of things that's going to get Big Rig going tomorrow. I'm sure there'll be many of them. So excited about that. I think we're going to be in studio getting my Carlin roof put on the old house here pretty soon. So we are locked and loaded. Bonus hour is next, and then Reds baseball at 7:35.
Hey, I'll...